of the future of currency changing rapidly as we know it, with China's digital yuan now being used at the Beijing Winter Olympics, is just one of three ways to pay. China certainly leading the way on central bank digital currencies, but there's more than 80 other countries who are now exploring their own rollouts. Let's bring in Ishwar Prasad, Cornell University professor of economics and the future of money author. And Ishwar, this is something that you've been writing about for some time. Let's talk about what's playing out in China right now with the Olympics. There was so much expectation riding on this big rollout. It's been pulled back a bit, largely because the Olympics have been scaled back. But how much adoption have we seen domestically so far?
So some numbers sound impressive. There are apparently about 260 million people who have downloaded the digital yuan app onto their phones. But if you look at the volume of transactions being conducted using the digital yuan, it's still very modest, only about $8 billion officially over the last 6 months, compared to, you know, well over $1.5 trillion in the Alipay platform just in 2020. So I think the issue here is whether there is a strong user case for the digital yuan, given that you have Alipay and WeChat Pay providing very easily accessible, low-cost digital payments to practically everybody in China. But the government is certainly determined to make sure that the digital yuan gets a lot of traction, and it's putting all its muscle behind it.
Anybody who's been to China certainly knows just how little cash is exchanged, at least in major cities. And yet I have to wonder how the PBOC sort of moves things in the direction of the digital yuan when so many consumers are used to doing everything in WeChat Pay or Alipay. How much of this is really about the government, number one, trying to crack down on these companies who the government's made it pretty clear they think there's too much power concentrated. And you know, how do they spur things along?
So you've hit upon exactly the relevant issue in the context of China, because if one wants to think about a country where the user case for a digital official currency is quite weak, that country is China, because the use of cash is declining very quickly. Because the private sector, especially Alipay and WeChat Pay, are providing digital payments in a very efficient and easily accessible manner. But the government is concerned, Akiko, for exactly the reasons that you mentioned. These two payment giants have accreted a lot of economic and political power. They are making it harder for new entrants into the payment space, limiting competition, limiting potentially innovation. And more importantly, the government is very concerned about two things: that the use of central bank money at the retail level disappears, which the central bank certainly does not want. And second, that these payment platforms have been collecting a trove of data on payment transactions conducted on their platforms and until recently not been willing to share it with the government. We've already seen actions by the Chinese government to cut down these tech giants to size. And I think it views the digital yuan as one more tool in its toolkit to be able to cut down the power of these giants.
As far as Brian Chung here, that's a really important point that you bring up about the privacy, because, again, if you are transacting in the PBOC's digital yuan, there is the concern that the government will be able to see all your transactions. So in tandem with the concerns that we've seen, especially on the global stage of the Olympics with human rights, is there a serious concern within the Chinese kind of domestic economy over how the government's going to use this? Have they outlined any sort of parameters or limitations by which they'll be looking at use of the digital yuan?
That's a very legitimate concern, Brian. But somewhat curiously, the Chinese government is trying to make the case that people in China should use the digital yuan rather than Alipay and WeChat Pay, because the government would be more prudent in terms of how it uses the data compared to those commercial giants which would use it for commercial purposes. But certainly the sense that it could be used for the government's surveillance is a major concern. Now, what is interesting is that the government is offering these digital yuan wallets with different categories of privacy. So, for instance, the high-grade digital wallets, which would allow you to hold large balances in those digital wallets, use them for high-value transactions, have to meet know your customer and regulatory requirements. But then there are also low-grade digital wallets, where in principle, just by providing a mobile number, you can get access to such a wallet, and that gives you some degree of transactional privacy. But the reality is that anything digital is ultimately going to be traceable, because no central bank really wants its money to be used without auditability and verifiability of the transactions. So I think this is a very legitimate concern, although certainly there are design options that are becoming available that will make that trade-off between privacy and convenience somewhat better than it is right now.
I mean, how much of those concerns around privacy inevitably point to the leadership on the Chinese part, just given that they don't necessarily have to deal with the type of privacy issues that would pop up in the U.S.? Certainly, that's part of the concern with the Fed pushing for the digital dollar as well. You know, there's going to be a lot of people who are saying, well, do I want all my transactions tracked in that way?
That's, again, a critical concern. Every economy that is considering the issuance of a digital currency is looking at these issues as not just an economic or technocratic issue, but really a social one. Because as you correctly point out, whether we want to live in a world where every transaction ultimately is going to be visible either to a government agency or central bank or to a private payments provider is a really deep question that we all need to be grappling with. But the reality is that cash is on its way out. So the question here really is whether we have an alternative in the form of a central bank managed digital payment system as an alternative to a private payment system. And I think there are certainly some advantages to having that, at least as an alternative. But it does bring to the fore a broad range of concerns and the loss and the erosion of whatever little privacy and anonymity in our financial lives that we have right now is certainly going to be a significant risk.
So then on that point, could you see the Federal Reserve wanting to take on the idea of adopting a U.S. digital dollar? Because that, in addition to the concerns about competition, because the Fed doesn't want to get into the space of taking air out of fintech companies that are already providing payments options, could you really see the Fed wanting to take this on?
That's a really key question, Brian, whether we want the Federal Reserve to be providing services, either payments or some sort of banking services, that the private sector can provide quite efficiently, and indeed that the private sector should be providing and innovating on. So central banks like the Fed are dealing with this conundrum right now because the use of the money that they provide, physical cash, at the retail level is disappearing. So the question is whether they want to maintain their relevance in that dimension. But the risk is that if the central bank does provide a payment mechanism in the form of a digital currency, then it could inhibit private sector innovation. It could end up with a lot of deposits fleeing to central banks rather than commercial banks. Again, there are ways in which there are you can design central bank digital currencies through either design choices, conceptual or technical, that can mitigate but not eliminate those risks. But the Federal Reserve recently put out a paper, and I think it posed exactly the right questions. And the Fed has made it very clear that if it moves ahead on a digital dollar, it's going to do so only if it has full political and public support. And that, I think, is a very wise thing for a central bank not to go forward on its own unless there is broad support for it.
Yeah, and by the way, they are soliciting public comments on that. I think there's just over 100 days left to submit comments. You can go to the Federal Reserve and tell them exactly what you think. That's for all of our viewers. But Ishwar Prasad, Cornell University professor of economics and the author, by the way, of The Future of Money. Thanks for stopping by.